Summer in Sodom. Chapter 9. Ted had been swimming for almost an hour. He had come down to the beach at 9 in the morning while the water was still chilly and had plunged into the waiting arms of the lake. The cool water invigorated him and made him forget the things that happened last night and the nagging doubts he had about them. He hadn't been content with his usual swim along the shore, and had headed straight out into the lake, reveling in the sense of power it gave him to cleave through the small waves, and delighting in his aloneness as he got almost out of sight of land. If only it was this easy to get away from one's problems. If only he could keep swimming until he came to a place where everything was the way it should be, where sex presented no difficulties and a person could choose the one he loved and live happily with whomever it might be. But life wasn't that simple. Jerry had told him it wasn't, and after his experience with Ian last night, he was willing to believe it. Ian's action and words had hardly been reassuring after their wildly passionate session on the exotic black-sheeted bed. It was as though he had gotten what he wanted and was no longer interested in Ted as a person. Was that the truth of it? But they had been together before, and Ian hadn't become so arrogant and careless of his feelings. He had tried to question the other boy about his attitude, and Ian had seemed almost contemptuous of him. "Aw, come off it, Ted," he had said. "What are you trying to do, make a big romance out of a roll in the hay?" "But I thought you cared about me," Ted said. "I don't think I could face up to this, to the things we did, if there isn't some kind of relationship." "We had a relationship, and you know as well as I do what kind," Ian said, deliberately misinterpreting his words. "But Ian, don't give me any of that love crud," Ian snapped. "What we've had together has been sex, pure and simple." "Well, maybe not so pure and simple, but sex all the same." After that, they had driven back to the Gables in silence, and Ian hadn't even bothered to say goodnight when they parted in the hallway. Ted had lain awake all night trying to figure out what he had done to himself. He had been drawn into the situation through ignorance or innocence, whichever you prefer to call it, but last night he had known what he was about. He had gone to the cabin with Ian willingly, but he had thought Ian had some feeling for him. Affection, at least, and maybe love. Now it appeared the affection had been all on one side, and unfortunately it still seemed to exist. No matter how badly Ian treated him, there was still a fascination and appeal about him that Ted couldn't resist. He was tiring from his long swim, and he knew he should start back, but he didn't want to just yet. He rolled over on his back and floated lazily for a few minutes, letting the sun glisten on his wet skin while he tried to make some sense out of the way Ian had acted. Was he tired of him? Did he want to go on to some other boy now that they had been together a few times? He had read somewhere that homosexuals favored brief, torrid affairs with no regrets and a casual goodbye before they went back to cruising, looking for a new lover. But even if this was the explanation for the way Ted behaved, he still couldn't shake his feeling for him. Why couldn't people control the way they felt about other people? Ted sighed and rolled over to start the leisurely swim shoreward. He was about halfway there when he realized how tired he was, and he knew he had overexerted himself. He toiled on, wondering if he were going to make it, and the thought came into his head that if he drowned, Ian wouldn't care. Would anybody? Would Eileen, for instance? After all, they had quarreled bitterly the first time he'd seen her. Would Jerry? He hadn't been very nice to Jerry yesterday afternoon either. It would be a terrible thing to drown and not know of a soul in the world who would grieve for him. Somehow the thought gave him extra strength, and he redoubled his efforts, and after what seemed like hours, but must have been minutes, he felt the welcome touch of sand under his feet. As he staggered out of the water, he was surprised to find two figures waiting on the beach.
"Hello, Ted," Eileen said. "I saw your clothes here and waited. I was beginning to think you were never coming out."
"Hi," Jerry called. "I was getting worried about you. I was just about to come looking for you."
"Thanks," Ted said, dropping breathlessly to the sand. I guess I went out too far. Got pretty tired."
"Hey, fella, you ought to be more careful."
Concern was plainly written on Jerry's face.
"You certainly should,"
Eileen said, and there was no doubt about her concern either. So there were at least two people who would have missed him, Ted thought. That made him feel a little better, but it didn't make him any less exhausted.
"Boy, I'm beat," he said, stretching out and closing his eyes. "Guess I'll take a little nap."
"Here, let me dry you off first," Jerry said and reached for a towel.
"I'll do it,"
Eileen said, snatching it out of his hands and bending over Ted. Jerry laughed, but it wasn't a joyful laugh.
"I can hardly blame you for wanting to take care of that," he said. "That body of Ted's must be like catnip to a woman."
Eileen glanced sideways at him.
"Obviously it's catnip to someone other than a woman."
"Touché," Jerry said.
"As a matter of fact, I'm beginning to think it might be a good idea for Ted to get out of Silver Beach. and get out quickly."
Ted could hear them talking through the haze of his wariness, but it didn't seem to have anything to do with him. It was almost as though they were discussing a perfect stranger.
"You might be surprised to know I agree with you," Jerry said.
Eileen stopped patting at the drops of water that still clung to Ted's limp body.
"Why?"
she asked.
"Because Silver Beach is loaded with too many temptations for a boy as naive as Ted," Jerry said. "Is that a crack at me?"
Eileen demanded, dropping the towel and adjusting the top of her green bikini.
"Not exactly," Jerry said, looking at her lush charms, "although I have to admit that what you've got to offer is tempting as hell for anyone inclined that way." "Well, there certainly aren't any many in this town anymore," Eileen said. "When I walk down the street or through the arcade, most of the boys look right through me."
"They don't look through Ted," Jerry said.
"Yes, I've noticed that, and not only in town,"
Eileen said acidly, following Jerry's eyes as they rested admiringly on the other boy's well-muscled body.
"Yeah, that's what I mean," Jerry said earnestly. "He ought to get away from people like me, and more especially people like Ian."
There was a deadly seriousness in Jerry's voice that got through to Ted in spite of his weariness. He lifted himself on one elbow and considered the intense expression in the blue eyes that met his.
Why was Jerry so persistent in warning him about Ian? Was there more to it than jealousy?
Did it have something to do with the way Ian had acted last night? Jerry was his friend. He had to discuss what had happened with somebody, and Eileen would never understand. But Jerry might.
"Eileen," Ted said. "Yes, darling? What is it?"
she asked, leaning over him eagerly. "Would you mind leaving Jerry and me alone for a little while? There's something I want to talk to him about."
"Well," Eileen flared, bouncing to her feet angrily, "I can just imagine what that conversation will be about."
"Eileen, please," Ted said, but she turned and stalked off, her rounded buttocks swinging in angry rhythm. He turned back to Jerry. "I didn't mean to hurt her feelings, but there's something I want to ask you."
"Sure. Any time, Ted. Just bring your troubles to old Mother Sherman."
Ted didn't smile. "I'm serious, Jerry. It's... well, it's about Ian."
"That figures. You went off with him somewhere last night, didn't you?"
"Yes," Ted admitted. "We went to a place down on the lake shore."
"What kind of a place?" Jerry asked quickly.
"A beach cabin that belongs to some friends of his," and Jerry frowned. What was it Igor Bradshaw had been babbling about the night he got loaded? Something about a cabin and Scars. Scars was a mean devil, and if Ian had gotten Ted mixed up with Scars, Ted went on telling Jerry the whole thing with Ian. How Ian had seduced him when he found him alone on the beach after his abortive affair with Eileen. How he had talked to him afterwards. Their second encounter, and finally last night. He told him how he felt about Ian and how contemptuously Ian had treated him when it was over. Jerry listened quietly to the recital, his face growing more grim by the moment. What was Ian up to? It sounded like there was more to it than met the eye. Ian had a bad reputation among the habitués of Silver Beach, and it was caused by more than his extraordinary fickleness. There were rumors around town that he was tied up in some way with Scars, and even though the tavern owner made it easy for the gay set to operate, most of them regarded him with active dislike and fear.
"Look, Ted," Jerry said finally, "you stay here and take a nap. We'll talk more about it later. Right now, I've got something to do in town."
Ted nodded sleepily. Now that he had gotten it out of his system, he could relax and just lie here and soak up the sun. Jerry got up and stood looking down at the already dazing youth for a long moment before he headed for the car he had left parked just off the road. The time had come to talk to Ian Raymond. Ian was having a beer in the Golden Onion when Jerry found him. He tapped him on the shoulder.
"I want to talk to you, Raymond," he said.
Ian looked around at a sneer on his sensual lips.
"Tough, Sherman. I don't want to talk to you."
"You're going to, whether you want to or not," Jerry said, digging his fingers deep into Ian's shoulder muscles.
"Like hell I am," Ian said, slapping the hand away. "What's eating you anyway? You want another beating?"
"You told me to come back if I ever wanted to go at you," Jerry said, "and here I am." Ian grinned and flexed his muscles under the thin cotton shirt.
"You must like it, boy. What kind of a nut are you? A masochist or something?"
"Jerry can just cut the chatter and come on out in the parking lot," Jerry said. Ian shrugged and got up off his stool and swaggered out of the bar ahead of Jerry.
"Okay, now I want some straight answers," Jerry said as the bronze giant turned to face him. "This is the kind of straight answer you get from me," Ian said, lashing out with a doubled-up fist. "I want to know what you've been doing to Ted Randall," Jerry said.
Ian laughed derisively. "What have I been doing to Randall?"
"Well, you poor slob, I've just been doing what you'd like to be doing."
Jerry started forward, determined to wipe the arrogant smile off the handsome face. "You lousy!" he yelled, throwing a right that bounced off the side of Ian's head, staggering him. Jerry followed up with a quick left to the body, and Ian stepped back. The last time this big guy had been too much for him, but Jerry was determined to give him what he had coming. His anger over what he had done to Ted would make up for the difference in weight and reach that Ian gave the advantage. Ian hit him with a looping left that caught him full in the mouth, and he almost went down. Another blow felt like a bomb had exploded in his middle, and his knees buckled. There was blood in his mouth, but he fought back furiously. He hit Ian with a hard left that was only partially blocked, and saw the smile leave his face for the first time. The dark eyes flashed at him, and he knew Ian was aware that his victory wouldn't be so easy now. Then Ian was boring in, raining blows on Jerry's face and shoulders, cursing him and reviling him as he did so. "You bitch! I'll fix you this time! When I get through with you, that face of yours will be such a mess no one will ever want to look at it!" Jerry backtracked and stuck out viciously, catching Ian in the middle and causing him to double over and groan. But he recovered quickly and came in, boring in again. Jerry danced away, trying to box while he looked for a vulnerable spot to attack. He picked away at Ian's face, trying to fight a smart fight and keep out of the way of the flying fists. It didn't work. Ian reached him with a hard right that almost separated his head from his shoulders. He wobbled drunkenly for a moment, then went down. Ian laughed triumphantly and lifted a foot to smash it into his face. Reaching up desperately, Jerry caught the foot and twisted it, throwing Ian off balance and bringing him down. They both scrambled to their knees and grappled and pounded and tore at each other. Ian's shirt ripped away, and there were red bruises on the smooth, bronzed skin. Jerry aimed a blow at his chin but missed and caught a blow to his ear that almost blacked him out. He had to hang on then, gripping the wet, slippery torso of the other man with all his remaining strength. They rolled over and over, and then Ian was on top of him, and those strong arms and legs were entwined with him as they wrestled for advantage. "You dirty bitch!" Ian yelled and got his hands around Jerry's throat. Jerry fought to loosen them, feeling their steely fingers sinking deep into his neck. Blackness started to close in on him, and with one last frantic effort, he brought his hands and arms up between Ian's hands and broke the grip, rolling to one side out of his reach. Then they were both on their feet again, lashing at each other with blood-covered fists, streaking it all over faces and arms and torn clothing. "I'll kill you! This time I'll kill you!" Ian gasped. Jerry didn't waste his precious breath on words. He just kept pumping short jabs to the face and body and hoping they were having as much effect on Ian as Ian's blows were having on him. Both of them were staggering now, their blows becoming weaker and landing less often, and the men and boys who had gathered to watch were dragging them apart and urging them to stop. "Next time, you wait until next time," Jerry shouted as Ian, as Scars himself, came out of the back door and bellowed for them to break it up.